Kehilat Zichron Yosef, 13th of November 1991, Parshat Vayetze.
Good evening.
The question that we're going to deal with is truth, half-truth, lies, deceit in Sefer Bereshis. Where indeed do we find manifestations of such conduct? Go ahead, four. Yaakov and the Bechora. Avon, where Lavan gives Rachel, gives Leah to Yaakov in place of Rachel. So if you're mentioning Avraham saying about Sarah that she is his sister, you can mention three places. Twice that Avraham says that Sarah is his sister, one to Paro and the other to Avimelech, and Yitzchak also says that about Rivka to Avimelech. Go ahead. Yes?
When the brothers sold Yosef,
and the fact is they didn't come back and tell him. What they did was the brothers brought the coat of many colors, all dripping with blood, and they permitted Yaakov lahasik et hamaskanot, that he should arrive at his own conclusion. And it was Yaakov who says, Torov torach Yosef, Yosef has been torn apart, chayoro achalotu, a wild animal consumed him. What about Yosef? Oh yes, he doesn't reveal himself to them. Yes, all right. By the way, just if you're talking about Yosef, I think that there we may be dealing with a form of deceit that takes place for a period of 22 years. During all the years that Yosef is gone from the house, there's no doubt about it in my mind that all of the brothers who know the secret are all play acting. For 22 years, most probably when they mention Yosef's name, they say, Yosef, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, he should be a good beter for us all. Zazayna Melitz Yosha. I wouldn't be a bit surprised they had a Siyam HaShas on his yahrzeit. For 22 years, they are acting at home. Acting. Yes. Nachash and Chava. All right, there's a form of deceit, their deception. Okay. Oh, more. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I wonder about that when he says, Hashomer Ochi Onochi. Alright. Okay. Alright. Go ahead. Yeah, Rivka telling Yaakov to go take the Bechora. She steals his trophim. And what about God when God says to Avraham, Lomozet Sohako Sora, why did Sarah laugh? And she said, how can she have a child and I am old? The fact is that Sarah had said, my master is old. She said that Avraham is old. But what does God do? God doesn't say that. God says, but Sarah said she is old. The fact is that there are more. But I want to point out another one toward at the end of Sefer Bereshit, and then we're going to see what it is in this Sedra that we're going to talk about. At the end of Sefer Bereshit, in the last chapter, toward the very end, Yaakov is buried in the Maras HaMachpelah, and the brothers return to Eretz Mitzrayim. In Perek Nun, Pasuk Tedvav, Pasuk 15, it says, Vayiru Achei Yosef, the brothers of Yosef saw Ki Mei Davim, that their father died. Vayomru, when they said to themselves, Lu Yistumenu Yosef, Yosef is going to hate us. Now that Yaakov is gone from the scene, now Yosef can do with us whatever he wants. The Hashem Yashiv Lanu, he's going to repay us. Et kol hara asher gomalnu oto, all of the evil that we did to him. Therefore, Vayitzavu el Yosef leimor, they commanded Yosef, so saying, Avicha tziva lifnei moto leimor, your father commanded before his death, so saying, they are quoting a deathbed wish of Yaakov that was never said. It's not true. Ko tomrul Yosef, so you should say to Yosef, Ono son of Pesha Achecha, please forgive the sin of your brothers, v'chatosem, and their error, ki rogim alucha, because they have done evil to you. V'ato now, son of Pesha Avdeel Keovicha, forgive the transgression of your servants, the God of your father. And Yosef cried when they spoke to him. Let's now relate it to this week's Parashas Vayetze. In Parashas Vayetze, there are going to be a number of things that are going to happen toward the end of the Seder when Yaakov flees from the house of Lavan. It says, "Vayignov et lev Lavan." He stole the heart of Lavan. Stealing the heart means to deceive him. Listen, when he enters into different agreements with Lavan as to which sheep will be his salary, so it says that he put those sticks in the troughs so that the cattle should see the sticks, and they would therefore give birth either to speckled and spotted or brown and white, an act of deception. But let's see where it begins. In Parshat Vayetze, at Sheni, Perek Chof Tet, follow me through a few psukim. Yisa Yaakov Raglov, Yaakov lifted his feet, Vayelech Arzab and Ekedem, his legs, he starts moving. He has just now received a promise and a guarantee from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I will be with you wherever you go, Shmaticha, I will take care of you. And he comes to the land of Bnei Kedem, and he sees, behold, there is a well in the field, and there are three flocks of sheep, Rov Tzimaleh, that are lying around the well, Ki min abeherahi, because from that well, they would give all of the flocks to drink. And there was a big stone on the well. All of the flocks would gather there, and then they would remove the stone. They would water their sheep, return the stone to the mouth of the well. So Yaakov says to them, "Vayomelam Yaakov Tosik Dali." Yaakov says, "Achai, my brothers, may I not them? Where are you from?" Vayomel, they said, "May Choron anachnu, we come from Choron." Vayomelam Hemsi says to them, "Hayidatem et Lavan ben Nachor? Do you know Lavan the son of Nachor?" Vayomel, they said, "Yodanu, yes, we know him." Vayomelam, he said to them, "Shalom, is everything okay with him?" Vayomel, they said, "Shalom, everything's okay." Vinei Rachel Vito, behold, his daughter Rachel Bo is coming to the sheep. Vayomer, so he says to them, the day is still young. There's a lot of time in the day. Why do you all gather now to water the sheep? Lo eit hei pamikne, this is not the time to gather in the sheep. Pashku atzon, why don't you give your sheep to drink and go graze them? It seems like they're all in a waiting pattern. So they explain to him, no, they said, we can't until we all gather, so we have a lot of people here, and then we're all able to remove the stone from the well, because we can't remove it alone. He's still talking with them, he's in the middle of talking. Rachel already arrived with the sheep, because she was a shepherdess. That's Lavan. Vayigash Yaakov, vayogel et ha'eben me'al pi ha'be'er, vayash ketzon Lavan achi imo. When he saw Rachel, he removed the stone all along, and he watered the sheep. Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel, Yaakov kissed Rachel, vayisa et polo, and he lifted his voice, vayeik, and he cried. The pasuk that we have to concentrate is the one that comes now, pasuk yudbet. Vayaked Yaakov l'Rachel, Yaakov told Rachel, ki achi avihahu, he is her father's brother. V'chi ben Rivkahu, and he is the son of Rivka. Vatoret, she ran, vatageid la'aviah, and she told her father. Obviously, the first part of the pasuk is very problematic. Yaakov says to Rachel that he is the brother of her father. Is he the brother of her father?
He's not the brother of her father. He is the nephew. He's the nephew of her father. How does he say to her that I am your father's brother? And then in the same breath he says that he is the son of Rivka. If he is the son of Rivka, Rivka and Lavan are brother and sister. He is the son of Rivka, that's true. But he's not the brother of Lavan. Rashi. So Rashi says the following. Ki achi aviha he. Who? He is the brother of her father. So the first chap Rashi says, the word ach, brother, can also mean relative. Karov la'aviyah. He is a relative, close to her father. Kemo, as it says earlier, an moshim achim anachnu, we are brothers. So now, I don't know why Rashi, it occurs to me now, why did Rashi have to bring a pasuk earlier in Bereshit? What does Yaakov say to the shepherds when he sees them? In pasuk Dalet, Vayomer lehem Yaakov, achai, my brothers, may ayin atem, where are you from? They are not his brothers, but it's sort of, is a term that's used to denote the friendship or closeness or an attempt to be friendly and close. We assume that brothers like each other. So first shot is, Vayomer, he said he is her father's brother. This is what we have to begin to deal with, the Medrash. If your father Lavan is going to come and treat me with deceit, he's going to try to deceive me. Gamani ochiv b'ramaot. I am his brother in deceit. Two can play the same game. V'im odom kosherhu. If he is a good man, gamani ben Rivka achoto haksheira. I am the son of his sister Rivka, who is a good, honest, and decent person. The Medrash therefore is saying, I can be the brother of Lavan if I have to be. If he's going to try to deceive me, so he should know, he has met his match. Let's hear what the Medrash says. I'm going to read the Medrash and then we're going to analyze the Medrash. Medrash says the following. Medrash says that the Shaul, first king of Israel, came from Rachel. He was tzanuah, he was modest. It says that when Shmuel announced to Klal Yisrael that God has anointed Shaul ben Kish as king of Israel, they went to look for him and they couldn't find him. And then behold, he was hiding behind the provisions until they finally he comes out and he stands up before Klal Yisrael and they see a man, head and shoulders above all of Klal Yisrael. There was a modesty and a humility that Shaul had. Where did he get it from? He got it from Rachel. Rachel was the bubba. Umatzniut haita ba b'Rachel. The Gemara asks, the Medrash asks, what was the modesty of Rachel? Dichtiv, because it says, Vayaged Yaakov l'Rachel, Yaakov, this passage that we're learning, Yaakov told Rachel, ki achi aviyahu, that he is her father's brother. So the Medrash says, v'halo ben achot aviyahu, he is the son of her father's sister. He's not a brother to her father. Ella amalo, he said to her, the Medrash tells us the first conversation that took place between Yaakov and Rachel. He said to her, mincivously, marry me. Amrale, so she responded, yes. Mihu, however, she says, itli abba ramo, I have a father who is a deceiver. V'lo yachlitle, you will not be able to overcome him. Amale, so Yaakov says to Rachel, my rama ute, what is the deceit of your father? In other words, does he have an interest here in deceiving me? So she said, Amale, she said to him, itli achota kishisha minoi, I have a sister who is older than I am. V'lo mincivili nikama, he will not let you marry me before she's married. Out of the question. I have an older sister. Omar lo, so Yaakov said to her, Ahua anod ramaut, I am his brother in deceit.
He's going to try and deceive me. He has met his match.
Rachel says to Yaakov, "Umi shori lei litzadiko lizvuya b'ramaut." Is a tzaddik permitted to conduct himself with deceit? Is it mutter? What are you telling me, Yaakov? Are you committed to act deceitfully? Yaakov's answer comes without hesitation. In, yes, dichtiv, because it's a pasuk. The end of Shmuel. David HaMelech describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says about God, "In novarti tabor." With a person who is pure of heart, you act with him purely, v'in ikesh, and with a person who's crooked, titapo, you deal with them crookedly.
So therefore, you ask me a shayla v'achal, whether mutter or osa to deal with deceit, mutter. And no less a pesach or a cheder than the Rebbeinu Shalom himself. The end was Masal Simanim. He made a code with her. He gave her the Simanim. They made up a code whereby he should know that it is Rachel and not Leah. Ki ma'ayalala Leah, when they were bringing Leah to the chuppah, Sovra Rachel thought to herself, Hashta achoti nichsa, for my sister is going to be embarrassed. Masartinu nehela. She gave the code to her sister Leah. Hainu tchitiv, that's why it says later, in the parasha, by Yehita Boker, and it came to pass in the morning, v'inehi Leah, and behold, she is Leah. Michlal, which means the Adhashan, until that time, lav Leah he didn't know that she's Leah. Elamitoch simonim, shemosra Rachel Leah, because of the simonim that Rachel gave over to Leah, lo havi yodala, he didn't know, Adhashan, until the morning, he didn't know that it's Leah. Alright, so here we have, incidentally, here we have Rachel, who is an accessory before the fact to the deceit of Yaakov. It's really each one for their own reason. Lavan, Leah, Rachel, all of them are deceiving Yaakov. And of course, you know, when we remember what Yaakov told Rachel, if he is a deceiver, Ochiv anot ramot, I am his brother in deceit. I can play the same game. Maybe the Rashi here and the Medrash should be understood in light of a Rashi in last week's Seder. Last week's Seder says that when the children grew up, Esav was Ish Tzayid Ish Sadeh. He was a man of the field, a man who knew how to hunt. Yaakov was Ish Tom. Yaakov was an Ish Tom Yoshev Ohalim. Says Rashi the following. Esav was Ish Tzayid. He knew how to hunt, how to entrap and ensnare people. Lotzud ul'ramot et aviv b'fiv. He knew how to entrap and deceive his father with his mouth. V'sholalo, when he asked him, Abba, Tata Laban, please tell me, Heich ma'asvin et ha'melech batat heaven, how do you give ma'isa from salt and from straw? You don't have to give ma'isa from salt and from straw. But here he leaves his father with the impression that this is hazad. So that you understand. Reb Esav. So he... So his father thinks to whom the didactic the mitzvahs. He was ish sadeh, meaning a man of the field. Yes, he went out and he hunted wild beasts and fowl. What was Yaakov? Yaakov was tam. Listen to what Rashi says. Eino baki b'chol eile. Yaakov is no expert in all of these things. Kilibo came piv. He can't fool anybody. Like his, whatever it is in his heart. That's what he says with his mouth. Mishe no harif l'ramot, a person who is not sharp enough to deceive others, karui tam, is called a tam. And what is it that now in this Sedra Yaakov says to Rachel? If your father is a deceiver, I am his brother, b'chamaut.
Yaakov may think so,
because from the time that the Torah describes him as tam until now, many years have passed. He may have been a young child then, but now he's 84 years old. He's also had a lot of life's experience. He's gone through a bechora and a bracha, and he has also fled from his father's house. He spent 14 years in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva. He must have learned a lot there as well. He has become a man of the world. Now, let's analyze the medrash that we began with.
Rachel asks
Yaakov. Is a tzaddik permitted to conduct himself b'ramaot, with the seed? Now, the question is a fascinating one. She's not asking, is it proper? She's not asking, is it practical? She's not even asking, maybe you ought not to, which would be an act of piety. She's asking straight question of halacha. Tell me, mutter or asur? Permitted or prohibited? Yaakov, without any hesitation whatsoever, no reservation, immediately says yes. And where does he learn it from? From HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, from the Pasuk, with a pure-hearted person you deal with purity, and with a person who's crooked you have to deal with him with crookedness. You know what that means? That means it very well falls into the category of Mahu af ata. What is the great mitzvah of Torah v'halachta v'drachav, to go in the ways of God? Just as God is Rachum, you should be Rachum. Just as He is Chanun, you should be Chanun. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu buries the dead and clothes the naked and visits the sick and is menachem avelim, so you too. Yaakov sees in this pasuk that, you know what? The Rebbeinu is telling you how to conduct yourself. If you're dealing with a person who's pure and honest and straight, that's precisely how you're supposed to deal with him. If the man is an ikesh, if the man is a person who is full of deceit, then that's precisely the way you deal with him. It means that to be deceitful under such circumstances falls into the category of imitato dei, imitating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. That's quite an answer. That's quite an answer. You know what we're really dealing with? We're really dealing with the question, how is moral man to conduct himself when he is faced with an immoral situation? What's moral man supposed to do? Was there any question in wartime during the Shoah that a Jew was permitted to deceive to whatever extent he could in order to save himself? Moral man confronted with the most immoral situation of all. There's no question about it why Avram and Yitzchak are permitted to say she is my sister when she is really a wife, because we're dealing with a situation of suffering pikuach nefashos. That's what we're dealing with. Now we have to see how Yaakov is confronting this situation. So you know what's fascinating? If you think that from this medrash you now have sort of a carte blanche heter to go ahead and deal deceitfully with somebody who is a crook, or somebody who you're going to decide is a crook, and therefore you can deal with him crookedly. So you have to watch how Yaakov confronts this situation. First of all, who is he dealing with here? He's dealing with Laban, who has a reputation, a well-earned and deserved reputation of being a rabbi. We're talking about a professional. We're not talking about somebody who is unknown. He's a professional rabbi. He's a professional rabbi to the point that in the first sentence that his wife-to-be, Rachel tells him about her father, that he's a rabbi. Incidentally, though not related to the topic that we're talking about, do you know what we learn from here? We see from here that if somebody knows information, you're going into business, and I know that the fellow that he's going into business with, he's entering a partnership into a fellow who's a gunner from the old country. Do I have a responsibility to divulge? Of course I have a responsibility to divulge. I'm permitted to let somebody just go and enter into a relationship that's going to be disastrous? Kochel tells him directly, my father is a rabbi. So we're talking, number one, about a person who's a professional, well-known, well-deserved reputation of God. Number two, it's more than that. You know what Yaakov asks her? Does he have any reason to want to deceive me here? And she says, yes, I have an older sister. And therefore he has very good reason why he would want to deceive you. He doesn't want my sister to get married before me. Furthermore, what is Yaakov saying when confronted with this situation. He still says he's not going to necessarily conduct himself with deceit. If he's going to want to deceive me, then I will respond with deceit. If he wants to deal with me honestly, I will deal with him honestly. When it comes down toward the end of the Medrash, even though Yaakov has paskened already that you're permitted to deceive this man, we know that he is an Ikesh. We know that he has reason to deceive. You know what Yaakov does? He gives simanim to Rachel so that he should not have to deceive. He plans it in such a way he shouldn't have to deceive. The final point that we have to make about this medrash is that we're talking about something that's extremely significant and important. If we're talking about a man and a woman who are intended for each other marrying, this is one of the great and important and significant decisions in life. You can't let somebody else upset this kind of an arrangement. We're not talking about a Yaakov who would be prepared to deceive Lavan ways for 1,000 shekels. We're talking about a Yaakov, moral man, faced with an immoral adversary in a matter of great significance. Marriage is not a simple thing. Can we permit immoral men to stand in the way of this marriage? That's the marriage. Let's go a few steps further. It's a great deal to say. Malachi says, Ha'emet v'hashalom ehavu. Love, peace, truth and peace. Al shlosha devarim ha'olam kayam, al hadin, al ha'emet v'al hadin v'al hashalom. The world survives on three things: truth, justice and peace. But the question, to put the question that we're dealing with in another way, what happens if emet and shalom are in conflict? It's great to have emet and shalom. Both are great. Not only that, it's great to have shalom shel emet, emet shel shalom, all sorts of things. True peace, real peace, honest peace, it's all good. But what happens if peace and truth are on a collision course? What do you do then? That's the question. So, we know already, in the case of Avraham and Yitzchak, they knew that they must lie. They must lie. The text that we have to deal with now is a Gemara in Masechta Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Samach Hei Amud Beis, says the following. There are three statements made in the Gemara that represent two opinions. And we're going to see that these two opinions nearly run like a fine thread throughout halachic literature. The Gemara says the following. Rabbi Loi says, in the name of Rabbi Loza Rabbi Shimon, Mutar lo la'odam, a person is permitted l'shanot, to change things, mipnei b'dvar ha'shalom, for peace, for the sake of peace. You can change things. Shen ne'emar, as it says, and he cites the pasuk at the end of Vayechi, of Vichot Tzivo l'fnei moto, your father, the brothers tell Yosef, your father commanded us before his death, forgive the sins of your brothers. And Rashi points out, Yaakov lo tzivo, Yaakov never really commanded. Elohim shinu, they changed the truth, mipnei darkei shalom, in order to keep the peace. So the first opinion is, mutter, you are permitted. You're permitted to do what? L'shanot, change things. Nobody's using the word sheker outright. Rav Nosson says, mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to lie in order to maintain the peace, or a mitzvah to change the truth, speak a half-truth, a white lie, mitzvah. Shenema, as it says, and it brings a beautiful proof. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Shmuel after he has told Shmuel that Shaul has been rejected as king. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Shmuel and he tells him, I want you to go to Beit Lechem, and there in Beit Lechem, amongst the children of Yishai, is the one who I want to be king of Klal Yisrael. Shmuel's response is,
Vayomer Shmuel. Shmuel said, Eich Eilech, how can I go? Vishoma Shol Vaharogoni. Shol will hear about this and he'll kill me.
We did last year, you remember, the Gulf War. We talked about another question with regard to this pasuk. And where is Shmuel's bitachon? God is the one who tells him, go ahead, go to Bethlehem, and anoint one of the children of Yishai. And Shmuel says, how can I go? Shaul will hear, and he'll kill me. So we learned then a powerful Chovat HaLevavot, where the Chovat HaLevavot says that, you know, you have to look at things realistically, and there's the responsibility that Shmuel had to say it as it is. And we even see in the response of HaKadosh Baruch, how does HaKadosh Baruch respond? HaKadosh Baruch could have told him, Shmuel, what are you worried about? I'm sending you. I will watch over you. Michoel to the right, Gabriel to the left. Tens of thousands of angels are going with you. That's not what God says to Shmuel. You know what he says to him? Eglaz bokor tikach biyadecha, take a little calf. Take a calf with you. And when you come to Bethlehem, you should say, I've come to make a sacrifice. In other words, the Rebbe Yishon is giving him a cover. He's giving him a cover, and he's telling him to lie. It's true, it's not a complete lie. It's a white lie. You know, because he is taking a calf, and he is going to slaughter it, but God is the one who teaches him and tells him what to do. Take an Eglaz Bokor and go ahead and tell them you came for a zevach. So therefore, Rav Nosson says, from here we learn mitzvah l'shanot. It's a mitzvah to change the truth. That's a great deal more than Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who said, mutter, you are permitted to. The third opinion in the Gemara is really in agreement with the first. The Veda of Yishmael Tana, the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael, they learned Godol HaShalom, greatest peace. Sha'av HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shinabo. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed and bent the truth a bit in the interests of peace. Why? The case of him saying to Sarah, him saying to Avraham, why did Sarah laugh and she said that she is old and she cannot have a child? He didn't say what she did say. My master is old. The truth is, even there, I don't know whether I should say the truth is, or the lie is that it's not really, it wasn't a complete lie. The Ramban and the Or HaChaim there on the spot say that when Sarah laughed, how can she have a child? She had herself in mind as well. How is she going to have a child? When she expressed it, she said, and my master is old. So God didn't say a whole lie, but he didn't quote everything that that Sarah had said. All right. So we have two opinions. One opinion is, mutar, you're permitted to change things a bit in the interest of peace. On the other hand, another opinion that says, mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to do so. What I want to do is take at least a little bit of a journey in the area of halacha. One dare not for a moment think that one gets a carte blanche over here. Go ahead and just change the truth in any situation in order to get out of something. Let's see where we have it. You know, we have it in another fascinating place. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that Aaron was Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, and he brought people close to Torah. In Ovis the Rav Nosson says two things. One says, you know how it was that Aaron was Makarav people? He'd see somebody who was not a Shainagi, a Shtigal low life. And he would go over to him and he'd put his arm around him and he'd ask him, Habib, how you doing? No, it's act friendly to him. The psychology would do the rest. The fellow would walk away and he would think to himself, if Aaron HaKohen Kedosh Elyon Tzadik Yisod Olam would know what a lowlife I am, he would never come over and put his arm around me. So what does the man do? He begins to conduct himself in such a way that he should be worthy of the friendship of Aaron HaKohen. There's another statement of our rabbis. The other statement is, if two people had a conflict, so we know about it. He'd go over to one and he'd say, oy, your friend is so upset that you're angry with him and what he did to you. It's terrible how he feels. He really likes you so much.
And he'd go over to the other fellow and he'd say, "Oh, your friend, he's beside himself with grief over the fact that you're unhappy with him." And then what he would accomplish is that the two of them would come running toward each other and live happily ever after. All right? Is he lying? Of course he's lying. He made up the whole story. But here we see one is permitted to lie in order to bring peace. Bein Adam l'chaveiro. God, when he talks to Avraham and says that Sarah said she is old, there it is, in order to bring peace. L'hashkin shalom bein ish li'ishto. And bein Adam l'chaveiro, we also have the idea of Yosef's brother saying, Avicha tziva lifnei Moshe. There are other instances where the halacha sees that it is fit and correct to go ahead and absolutely lie. And that brings us really to the Rashi here. Gemara Masechet Yoma tells us the following story about Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. They once spent Shabbos in an inn, and they left their valuables at the desk, you know, with the owner of the inn. After Shabbos, they come to him, they say to him, "We have our valuables back." He says, "Valuables? You left me something? You? I don't know anything. I don't know what you're talking about." As they're talking to him, they notice that he has adashim in his beard, the lentils. So they turn around and they go to his wife and they say, "The man with lentils in his beard said that you should give us our valuables." In other words, they were putting it on the basis as though, you know, this was the sign or the code, and she went and she brought the valuables and returned it to them. It was an outright lie. But the outright lie, the halacha says, is permitted when it's a matter of saving a person from being wrong. You're permitted to do so. Gemara gives another instance where lying is permitted. A woman's husband dies. She has no children. There is a brother of her husband, a brother-in-law. So you have the halacha of chalitza or yibum. So the Gemara is talking about a fellow who was not a fine individual. And he didn't want to go through the whole chalitza bit. So what's going to happen with the woman? So the Gemara says, you know what? Chalitza would hate a chalitza that was a mistake is kosher. What? They tell the brother-in-law, "Listen, if you'll go through the process of chalitza, we'll give you 200 zuz." So he goes through the process of chalitza. He comes to collect. They say, "We're going to give you 200 zuz." It means they lied. But they lied in order to save the woman. It's permitted. Another halacha. The halacha is people who, employees whom I hired in order to do something for me, and if they're not going to do it now, I'm going to incur a terrible loss. At the last minute, shvita, that's all. There's a strike. They back out. So what am I going to do now? I depended on you. You gave me your word. So the Gemara says one of two things. Socher aleihen, you can go ahead and hire other people, and they're going to have to pay whatever it costs more. O maton, or you can fool them. You can tell them, "Listen, I'll give you overtime, double, I'll pay whatever you want." And then when they finish working, you pay them what you originally agreed to pay them, and no more. The Gemara also tells us that in order to protect the honor and the dignity of a fellow human being, or in order to save somebody from terrible shame and embarrassment, you're permitted to lie. Famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Aleph, the Gemara says the following. Gemara says that Rabbi Gamliel invited six people, a total of seven people, who are going to be the bedin to decide on whether a second year should be added to the year. You needed a bedin of seven to discuss the question and arrive at a conclusion that you need a second adar. You were all so nice, you know. I saw some eyes that knew that I made a mistake. All right. A second adar, as we have this year. So what happened? Yes, you know what I mean. So what happened was,
They come up into the office of Rav Gamliel, and Rav Gamliel looks around. There are 8 people, not 7. Rav Gamliel gets angry and he says, "Me? Who's the one that is Ola Shalom Bereshus that has come up here without permission?" Rav Shmuel HaKotten got up and said, "I am the one who has come in uninvited." And the Gemara says, it was not Shmuel HaKotten. Shmuel HaKotten was one of the Gedolei Yisrael, one of the giants. But he wanted to save somebody else from embarrassment, so he lied. There's another Gemara later on. The Gemara talks about Rebbe. It seems somebody ate garlic and then came into the Beis Medrash. And Rebbe couldn't take it. So he says, "Who is the one that ate shum and came into the Beis Medrash?" So Rav Chiya got up and he said, "I am the one." The Gemara says it was not Rav Chiya, it was somebody else. But he wanted to save somebody from shame and embarrassment, so he lied. We have to look at all of this in the light of another Gemara. There's a Gemara in Masechta Shavuos that gives 12 different examples of lies, and the Gemara prohibits it completely. Listen. A Gadol B'Yisrael comes to his Talmud and he says, "Listen, that fellow, Reuven, owes me $100. And he refuses to pay me. And I have only one witness. You know what I want? You come to Beis Din and you stand in Beis Din next to the witness who's going to say that I saw this Gadol B'Yisrael give $100 to Reuven. And you just stand there. So as far as the Beis Din is concerned, there are 2 witnesses, and therefore they'll be able to paskin that I get my $100 back. And you know I'm your Rebbe. I never lied to you. I've been the one who's been teaching you Torah's MS all of these years." The Gemara says, under no circumstances he's not permitted to do it. Why? Midvar sheker tirchot. Pasukin mishpat. Midvar sheker tirchot. You have to stay far away from falsehood. And the Gemara goes on with all sorts of examples. You can't lie. Midvar sheker tirchot. There's a famous story of a Gadol B'Yisrael who... Somebody writes a sefer, so you come to a Gadol B'Yisrael and you ask them to give a haskama, an approbation of the sefer. So there was somebody that the Gadol B'Yisrael did not want to give the haskama. He didn't want to give the haskama. But the fellow, he's gemuchet, so finally he wrote a beautiful haskama, and then all the way down at the bottom of the page he signed his name. So he asked, "Why didn't you sign your name right after the... Haskamas?" He says, "Mitvar sheker tirchot." You have to stay far away. You know, that was the sheker. I signed my name. Down here. So the question, therefore, is: here we've given you a whole list of circumstances where it is permitted for one to bend the truth or even lie, and the Gemara says, "Mitvar sheker tirchot." When is mitvar sheker tirchot? When does that become the operative statement? And when is the operative statement, Godel HaShalom, greatest peace, Mutal L'Shanot, Mitzvah L'Shanot? The answer is simple. In all of the cases where the Gemara says, Midvar Sheket Tirchok, it's talking about something that's taking place in the presence of a Bed Din, a court of Jewish law. Before a court of law, under no circumstances can any kind of falsehood be permitted. Because that would undermine the very foundations of the entire legal structure of Klal Yisrael. What you are permitted to do out of court, what you are permitted to do in order to foster a better relationship, being Odom L'Chavero, being Ish L'Ishto, what you are permitted to do in order to save somebody from being robbed, all can take place outside the walls of the Bet Din, but not in Bet Din. Not there. Not there. All right. Where do we find this machloket? Where do we find this? Now I'm going to quickly try and trace this through Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, the Rambam against the Rif and the Rosh, and conclude with a statement by the Chofetz Chaim.
the machloket, Shammai and Hillel, as soon as you hear this, Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis learned, Ketzad Meragdim Lifnei HaKala, how do you dance before a Kala? Beishamai say, Kala Kemo Shehi. You can only say about the Kala what is true about her. Kala Kemo Shehi. Says Rashi, Lifi Yofya, according to her beauty, the Chashivutan, according to her importance, Mikalsin Ota, you praise her. But if there's something nice about her, you sing about the something nice. And we assume that every Kala has something nice about her. Her eyes, or her midos, or her frumkeit. Ubeisil alongrin, beisil say, Kala noe the chasuda. A beautiful and a pious Kala, regardless of whether she's beautiful or she's not beautiful. And I understand what you're thinking. Every Kala is beautiful. Every Yiddish Kala is beautiful. But there's a machloket over here between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai say, you have to stick to the truth. Beit Hillel says, you're permitted to say an untruth. Or a half-lie. Amalehem Beit Shammai le Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai said to Beit Hillel, Hadei shehoitach hikeret osuma. If she had a handicap, Amalehem kala nor v'chasuda. If she's handicapped, she has a problem. Are you going to say about her kala nor the chasud about Torah? Amra, the Torah said, midvar sheker, tirchot. Amra lehen Beit Hillel, the Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel said to Beit Shammai, l'divreichem, according to you, Beit Shammai, misha lokach mekach ram min ashuk. Somebody who bought something bad from the market. Yishapcheno v'yenot, or yikaneneno v'yenot. Should you praise it in his eyes, or should you condemn it? Have you all that? Obviously, the answer is Yishav Tanav Yenov. The person bought it already. So what are you going to tell him? Oh, what a mistake you made. What a mistake you made. Man buys a suit. He bought it already. He had it altered. He can't return it. So what are you going to tell him? It looks like a sack. Huh? To a collar. All right. I remember I bought my car. A car, can I compare a car to a collar? I bought my Subaru, the oldest car on the block. Should have Arichas Yom. All right. So it's already at May of a Shishin. I bought the car. I have the car already. So somebody comes over and he says, where did you buy it? Tell him where I bought it. Shimon Barzilai Be'eravon Mutal. She says, what did you do that for? She would have asked me, I have a place where you can buy it for $100 less. I looked at the man. What do you want from me? I bought it already. So what do you want to do? You want to make me feel bad? Then of course he tells me you can get it for $100 less someplace in downtown Shechem. It was worth $100 more. But I looked at the man and I didn't understand. What are you telling me? Now that I purchased it already, you're telling me you could have saved money on. So Basil say to Beit Shammai, Nisha Kona Mecha Ramana Shuk, somebody who bought something that's not good. Listen, he's married to the girl already, so what do you want? Yishapchena Beina, or Yikaninena Beina? Obviously, Yishapchena Beina. Mikan, Omru Chachomim, from here, the Chachomim said, La'olam tehei dato shel odam u'revet im abriot. A person should be able to mingle socially with people and say things that are acceptable and that are correct and that are not going to create all sorts of ill feelings. So we have over here a fundamental machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai demands truth, regardless of what the circumstances are. Truth! And to say kala nor the chasuda, prohibited. Mitvar sheker tirchok. Beis Hillel say no. Whether Beis Hillel holds mitzvah l'shanot or mutar l'shanot, I don't know. The machloket continues. There's a Mishnah in Nidorim that says the following. A tax collector, and we're talking about an illegal tax collector. Illegal meches. A moches, he comes to take money from me, and the Gemara says either he's somebody who is taking much more than taxes should be, or that he established himself as a tax collector. In other words, he's taking protection money. So the Mishnah says the following. He comes into my house, and he says, I want those barrels of grain or fruits, whatever it is. I have a right to tell him,
it's not mine, it's Truma, it belongs to the Kohen. Or I can tell him that this is this belongs to the king. So he won't take it. Beis Hillel go further and they say, not only can you tell him that this belongs to the king, you can make a neder that it belongs to the king. You can take an oath that it belongs to the king. And you can even open the conversation by saying, I swear to God that this belongs to the king. Beit Shammai say, you can tell him it belongs to the king. But you can, and you can make a neder only if he presses you, you can vow. You can't take an oath. You can't take an oath. And you never are permitted to open the conversation by saying, I swear or I take a vow that this is belongs to the king. You have a machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel, in a sense, permit just about everything in order to save a person from being robbed. Interesting, the machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, how you dance before a kala, appears in Talmud Bavli, but does not appear in Talmud Yerushalmi. Furthermore, the Rambam paskins, La'olam teidatu shel adam u'revet ha'abriot, a person has to know how to get on with other people. The Rambam also paskins that it's a mitzvah, l'sameach chatan v'kala, but the Rambam does not paskin kala no'ah, the chasidah. He passed the Rif and the Rosh, the other Rishonim, Paskin, Ketzav Meraktin, the Kala, Kala Noah the Chasidah. When they sing Ketzav Meraktin, you should know it's because of the Rif and the Rosh, not the Rambam. Fascinating, the Rambam in Hilchot Deyot, the Rambam, I learned a line of the Rambam that's magnificent. After the Rambam talks about Gnei Vadat, that you're not permitted to steal somebody's intellect, that means you're not permitted to fool somebody. So he says, "Vafilu milo achat shel pitui, even one seductive word, v'shel ginevat dat, or one word in which I fool somebody, osur, prohibited." Ella, the Rambam says, and here he waxes poetic, and this is in the Yad HaChazaka, "Svat emet v'ruach nachon, svat emet a lips that are true, ruach nachon, a spirit that's correct, v'lev tahor, a heart that is pure, mikol omel v'havot, from any kind of sin or destructive words." The Rambam takes a very strong position. Therefore, he does not paskin like Beis Hillel that you sing kala nor the chasuda, but rather, obviously, the Rambam paskins like the Talmud Yerushalmi that does not bring the opinion of Hillel. Well, I think that we'll close. We'll close with a quotation from the Chafetz Chaim. Let me just point out that we've only touched the tip of the topic, but the Chafetz Chaim, in a sense, synthesizes everything, beginning from Bereshis, all the way down to the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam, and he says the following: Uleinyan ma lahashiv im shavalo. With regard to what are you supposed to answer if somebody asks you, ma biber ploni odotai? What did that fellow say about me? I have a feeling that he was talking to somebody about me, and I walk over to that person and I say, tell me, what did he say? What did he say about me? We know, he wasn't saying terribly nice things about it. How am I supposed to respond to somebody who asks me, what did they say about me? Totally about that. Says the Chafetz Chaim, it depends on this. In yeshlo eitzer lahashivo ba'ofen shelo yiyeh sheker gomor. If you have a way to answer so that it shouldn't be an absolute lie, v'gam lo yiyeh rechilus, and it shouldn't be rechilus, yashivo ba'ofen zeh. Answer him in that way. You shouldn't say an untruth out of your mouth. In other words, if the fellow was talking to me about that fellow, and was saying terrible things, and he also said, like, have a nice day.
So I can go back, and I said, you know, we were talking about the weather.
We're talking about the weather. We weren't talking about you. So the Chafetz Chaim says, if you can answer in a way that you're not saying a lie, you're not saying a lie, and there's no rechilus involved, but you get out of it clean without having to divulge what in fact the conversation was about. That's what you should do. And if the person understands, if I know that that fellow is not going to accept this kind of a nonsensical answer, we were talking about the weather. He knows that he was talking about him. Mutar lomar sheker gomur mipnei hashalom. You're permitted to say an absolute lie in order to maintain the peace. Avlo yishbach has v'sholom v'sheker, but you shouldn't, God forbid, swear falsely. And he explains this on the basis of a Gemara. The Gemara says the following. A person comes before a Bet Din of three, and they taskin by majority, either chayev or potter, or innocent or guilty. How do we write the Psak Din? What do you do? Rabbi Yochanan says, you simply write innocent. You don't say that these two rabbis said innocent and the third fellow said guilty. Why? Because of rechilus. You're going to be telling outside of court to the fellow who's been found innocent that one of those dayanim over there found him guilty. Rabbi Yochanan says you simply say one word, Zakai, innocent. Resh Lakish says no. Resh Lakish says, you know what you're supposed to write? These two rabbis said innocent and that one said guilty. Why do you do it? Because remember, again, it's before Bed Din, it's a Bed Din. A Psak Bed Din dare not look as though it is a lie. You have to let everything hang out. It has to be clean. This is what happened and this is what they each said. Rabbi Lozer says, you know what, Rabbi Lozer walks between the raindrops of Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish. And he says, do you know how you write it? Midivrehem nizdake ploni. From their words, this fellow was found innocent. Which leaves the impression that there was a disagreement. It was a majority vote. It doesn't say who voted which way. And the Toskin, Toskin like Rabbi Lozer, this last opinion. So what is this last opinion? The last opinion is saying, if you can find any way of saying it without an absolute lie, then you do it. Then you do it without lying. It comes down to the bottom line. And this is obviously the subject of a much, much longer discussion. What's the definition of emes and sheker? What's the definition of truth or falsehood? Many of us were raised to believe that when you say facts as they are, that's the truth. Anything else is a lie. First in peace, first in war, first in the hearts of his countrymen, I cannot tell a lie. I chop down the cherry tree, George Washington said to his Abba. And therefore we were raised, until of course we grew up and we found out that he was a drunk. He must have said it under the influence of who knows. But we've been raised to believe emes is when there is factual truth. Sheker is when there is any deviation from the fact. From all that we've learned, if you take together everything that we learned today, that's clearly not so. Rav Dessler says, emes is, the definition of truth is that which serves Ritzon HaBore, the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the result is good, that's truth. If the result is bad, and the result does not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is sheker, even though it's absolute truth. As evidence, Lashon Hara, Rechilus, Machlagas, it's the absolute truth, and nothing but the truth. But if the truth is destructive, then it's sheker. If the lie is constructive, and it is sanctioned by halacha, that's the definition of emes. Emes is not necessarily related to the facts as they are. It's to the result. To the result. There are other, more broader definitions of emet and sheker that we will save in Yirtzeh Hashem for another time. But now you have to see all of the events in Bereshit through the eyes of what we have said here. Yes, there's a question back there.
chapter is not yet over. You're going to listen to one quick medrash. And I brought it here, and it's an answer to your question. The question that she asked is, what are we going to do with Yaakov, who comes and steals the brachas from his brother? What are you going to do over there? Three-line medrash. The medrash says, Yechrad Yitzchok Harod HaGadol Yitzchok began to tremble when he found out that the one who he had blessed was Yaakov and not Esav. And he said, Mi Eifo, who is this fellow that was here in the house? Says the Rabbi Notam B'Shem Rav Acha, says, Hitchilu Kotlei HaBayit Martichin. The walls of his house began to boil. An intense heat. Amar, so he said, Mi Eifo, Mi Hu Zeshe Atid Le'afot. Who's the one that's going to be cooked? Who's going to be boiled or burned for all of this? Either me or my son Yaakov. Amar Le'Akodesh Baruch Hu, Akodesh Baruch Hu said to him, Lo Ata, you're not going to burn for it. Lo Yaakov Bincha, not your son Yaakov. Elohu Hatzad Tzayed. The deceiver, the great deceiver of all, Esav. And the Medrash goes on to say, do you know what? The two of you, Yitzchak and Yaakov, the two of you connived in order to redress what could have been a terrible error. What the two of you did was, you set everything straight precisely the way I wanted. What the Medrash therefore is saying, yes, when we look at it simply by reading the Psukim Torah, it seems like an act of deceit. But if we are talking about something upon which, for that matter, all of mankind depends, on a Yaakov who is going to emerge as the father of a Klal Yisrael that will bring blessing to the world, then it was an act of deceit in the benefit of mankind. By our definition, therefore, it would be MS and not Sheker.